It's a big weekend in NASCAR. Jackson and Thomas are here to talk about it. Welcome back to the Racing Rundown on Sports Fan Radio 1330 and SportsFanRockford.com.
Yeah, I guess it is a pretty big weekend in NASCAR.
What, the second biggest weekend in NASCAR?
Oh, this has got to be the biggest. Why do they start out by saying Daytona's the biggest? It doesn't make any sense to me. We're taking you up to 10 o'clock here, talking about Homestead tomorrow as we are on the home stretch and try to come up with a bunch of different racing figures of speech. We have found a couple throughout the course of the show just by random luck. Pedal to the metal.
That one came out of nowhere last segment.
Down in the home stretch. And now I'm forgetting the other one. But if you can think of one while you're driving around, feel free to tweet us that at SportsFan1330. My name's Jackson. He is Thomas Gomez. We've got a couple of picks that we're going to make on who we think is going to be the winner of the race tomorrow and who's going to go home the 2019 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup champion. But before we do that, Thomas, I did want to bring up just a couple of observations that I had.
Okay.
Part of the reason why a lot of people didn't like the Phoenix race and part of the reason why people are kind of straying away from NASCAR, you get the reasoning as there's too many commercials. And there's a lot of commercials in a race. And to me, there are. There's a lot of commercials in NASCAR. And I counted because at the bottom of the type of cable provider that I watch,
okay,
there are little blocks that tell you how many commercials or how long the commercials are for when you want to fast forward. It'll help you land on the very beginning of the next scene the next whatever. Yeah, it's great. It's futuristic as hell. But there were 23 that I counted in a four-hour broadcast. Seems like a lot, right?
23 breaks?
23 breaks, yes.
Oh.
Well.
Well, I guess over 4 hours or whatever it was.
It's less than six an hour, right?
Sure.
And that would be less than, or that would be a little bit more than 10 minutes per every segment. When you're watching a show, if you go 10 minutes without a commercial, that's kind of a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's the stuff that happens in between those commercial breaks that's not holding the viewer. You know, it's not holding the interest of the viewer well enough. You have just as many commercial breaks on television and on Sports Fan Radio 1330 for the Bears game.
Yeah, that's true.
You're going to take 23 breaks. And if you're a hardcore fan, you're going to stick around to see what the result of the challenge play was because it could have a meaning in the game. It's ultimately coming down to the final part of that game. In football, they keep your interest because the game is typically close. And you've got a referee to be angry at for a call that was made, or you just saw an amazing play and you can't wait to come back and watch the replay, or somebody got hurt, but it was in the middle of a drive that was happening, and you just want to see what happens next. Well, in racing, when someone's out by 10 seconds and they're just trying to keep things interesting throughout the broadcast, it's not really working these days. So my question is to you, Thomas, you watch this live more than I do.
I do. Every race live.
Is NASCAR holding your attention during the live broadcast well enough to keep you invested all the way throughout?
Rephrase the question.
Well, I'm asking because you're a younger guy than I am.
Uh-huh.
And part of the knock on your generation is, and I hate this too, but it's part of the knock is that there's just too many things going on. You have too many screens, right? Not you personally, but like the younger crowd, their attention spans are short.
Right. Okay.
So I'm asking if racing is holding your interest well enough, like do you feel like there are too many commercials at some points?
Yes. Okay. I see what you're going with this. So like with NASCAR and their commercials, whenever there's a commercial break that comes on, I'm on the edge of my seat literally because I'm curious what's happening because we can't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what's going on? Are we going to come back to a caution? Or are they going to have to explain everything? You know, we're listening to like a radio or whatever in our ear, we'll hear a caution and be like, there's commercials. Stop it. Like, let's go.
That's true.
So like I come up with, you know, they have NASCAR Nonstop where they put the commercials on the side and then the race on the other side. Why can't we do every commercial break like that? I mean, I get it. Why there might be sponsorship opportunities, like say there's an Ally commercial and then underneath where the race picture is, there's an Ally banner. Like I get it where there's money involved with that, right? But why can't we have every commercial break like that? That way you don't miss a second of the action. That would be a sellable feature for the network.
I imagine it's more money if they say that they go to a straight commercial break than they would if they say that they... Well, that's just... I'm just trying to think of the reasoning behind it. I'm with you. I wish that they would do all of those because it seems like there are so many cautions that happen while they do the NASCAR Nonstop thing.
Yeah.
That I wish that you could see it and you could hear exactly what happened, or maybe you could get that radio reaction for someone who doesn't wear a headset like I do. It's awesome that you do, because you can still hear the race while it's going on during the commercial break.
Right. And furthermore, I just thought of this on that. You know, it would be a good sellable feature for NBC or Fox when they're broadcasting this, saying that their commercials are right next to the race as they're happening, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because your consumers or whoever's sitting there watching it at home, they have to watch the commercials because the race is right next to it. They can't mute it. They can't walk away. They can't fast forward later. You know, you're watching the race and the commercials. They're going to hear it. They're going to see it.
Yeah.
You know, that could be a sellable feature too.
That's true. A quick note before we get to our, well, I was going to say pick three, but a quick note before we get to our final picks for the champion for the 2019 season, Thomas. This year marks the first time when one team had three drivers in the championship four. Gibbs has won 18 of the 35 races this season. It's insane what this team is doing right now. So here's a question that I haven't asked you in our time together. We've been doing this show for about 35 weeks for the season. I've never asked you if you like the way that the playoff format is currently.
Like having the round of 16, 12, 8, and 4?
Right, because there's a good segment of fans that don't like Toyota and NASCAR. There's a good segment in fans that don't like Joe Gibbs Racing drivers and wishes they would lose. Well, there's three of them. They are dominating the championship four. I'm not sure if that's going to really affect viewership. You're investing all this time to see the final result, right? So I feel like everyone's going to be on board. But in terms of how you get there, in terms of having just a championship four in a field of nearly 40, is this something that you're a fan of? Do you like the current playoff format?
I do, because if you look at the last 10 races that we have this playoff format for, it encourages a little bit more harder racing and more competition, because you're fighting to stay in it. You know, you know, if you're a driver, you may try something that you wouldn't normally try because you're on the brink of not making the championship, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that kind of keeps viewers interested. It keeps drivers interested. I mean, it kind of helps. I kind of put this into the same boat that I have the stage format in. You know, when I think a couple years ago when they introduced the stage format, they compared the previous season, because we didn't have the stage format at that time. So the 2016 season, I believe.
Yeah.
They took that season, looked at who won, all the points and everything. And then they applied the stage format to that, and they would have ended up with the same exact champion.
Hmm.
And I feel like, you know, if we ran all 36 races without any format, you whoever's dominant, they're still going to be dominant in that championship or your playoff bracket. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Like, they should be constant throughout.
They should be pretty consistent. Yeah, I mean, it's a battle of consistency. You could be great at the beginning, like we saw the 18 team be. He, of course, still made it to the championship four, so I guess it's kind of a bad example, but it proves your point as well. So I guess I didn't really look at it like that. I guess I was just thinking of the Jimmy Johnson years where, yes, he's got seven championships, but if they would have just gone by the traditional point system they were using for eons,
mm-hmm.
Johnson would have only won about three or four of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to get your opinion on that. I do like the playoff format. I love the stages. It gives me something to watch in the middle, because I'll tell you want me to flip the channel over to the Bears game, I will absolutely do that if there's no stage format, you know?
And that means something coming from a Packers fan.
Well, and the Packers as well. I mean, I watch both of them, but as a football fan in general, football and racing. I just wish that racing would end sometime around Labor Day, but that's a whole other discussion that we could have at some other point here, maybe even next week. But yeah, keep that thing around. I think that it's much better than the traditional format of racing every race and whoever has the most points at the end, because people could just run away with it, with Homestead not even mattering.
Right. And it puts a little bit of structure and format to the end of the season too. So, you know, Everyone knows what to expect versus just, you know, just let's see what happens, you know? I mean, it's like that anyway, but.
Well, it is, but it also gives you who's on the cut line.
Right.
That's exactly. Awesome. That is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've come to that time, Thomas. I think we've talked about everything else here, and we've been delaying it long enough. It is time in that show to predict who the winner of the 2019 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup champion is going to be. Normally, we do a pick three segment for the gamblers, for the fantasy players out there, but this time, let's just go in order of how you think the championship four is going to wind up in Homestead.
Okay.
Let's start with who you went with. You said that there were some numbers and some stats that help back up what you were thinking.
Oh, the reason I picked the winner?
Yep.
Okay, so it's no surprise. I picked Hamlin to win it, right? I've had him picked since the playoffs started. I'm like, this is going to be his year. He's having that year.
You also picked him, and we'll end up splitting the made up pool money that we have here at work if he does end up winning.
Shared bragging rights.
Shared bragging rights. Yes. Invaluable.
Yep. No, it's something that Denny Hamlin said after he won last weekend, and I'm like, huh, that's really interesting. Denny's birthday is November 18th, which is the same, is going to be the day after the Homestead race, right? That means 11, 18, 20, 19 are all Joe Gibbs numbers. 11, 18, 20, 19. If you put all of those numbers together, oh, and it's also his last day of being 30, or he's 38, his last day of being 38 at Homestead is where he could win his 38th career win. I just feel like the numbers are so weird for this that it's just going to happen. You know what I mean? It's like one of those things that you couldn't plan, you couldn't think about. I feel like that's just something that backs it up.
Thomas, hold up, man. My head just exploded.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So you've got Hamlin winning this, and when we filled out the whole playoff grid at the very beginning, that is the guy that you had, and it turned out being an extremely good pick. Who do you have behind him?
Behind him, I have Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Busch, and Kevin Harvick. So I said earlier, you know, I have, you know, Denny Hamlin winning this thing, and you can't look at his past stats at Homestead or something to tell you that he's going to win here, because that has gone out the window this season. He's performed extremely well.
Right.
But for the Truex, Kyle Busch, and Kevin Harvick order I picked, that was just my gut reaction. And I go to, you know, my website to find the stats and everything and look at it, and the stats back that up. That's how they've finished, and they have the best average finishes in that order.
Got it.
So I'm like, I feel like that's a good finish. Who do you have, or how do you have this championship playing out?
I've got it very similar to yours, to be honest with you.
Okay.
It's almost like we were both kind of just charting this thing out, you know, while mirroring our computers or whatever. Look, I went based on a gut reaction. I went on what the best way the story was going to end this season. I'm very interested in that part of sporting events. I like to see the story play out in a way that makes something memorable.
Okay.
Because somebody can just win. But you're always going to remember Martin Truex in 2017 having such a dominant year.
Yes.
Going on to win. And this late career resurgence that he's on with this Cole Pearn guy driving this Furniture Row car that shouldn't have any business being up there. You're always going to remember that. You're always going to remember Joey Logano being the guy that, you know, messed up the big three. The whole scenario throughout the year, the underdog guy won. You're going to remember that underdog guy winning.
Or like a couple years ago, Kyle Busch, I think, broke both of his legs and came back and won the championship.
Exactly.
You're going to remember stories like that.
Exactly. So I look at this, and I say that there's really only two logical conclusions that can happen in this race for me to really fall in love with the story, because there's really no underdogs here.
Right.
There's no underdogs. I mean, I don't think. There's the guy that's had the best year, and then there's three former champions.
Yeah, good point.
So I look at this and I say, Denny Hamlin's got to win this. It's his year. That's who I'm picking. That's who I assume is going to be the guy that's going to win the trophy. The way that I saw him race and the way that they told him, hey, you need to be aggressive. You need to keep this up all race long. All race long. Don't take any crap. Get out front. Do whatever you can. If he just takes it into this round two, and it worked for him last week, why couldn't it work for him again this week? And you can, as you mentioned, look at those numbers, because you know, Hamlin's never been in the championship four this close to a victory, at least not in, you know, 10 years or whatever. I think it was 2010 where he finished second or whatever.
Right.
The only other logical conclusion that I could draw from this, and my official pick is Denny Hamlin. And behind Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., as you mentioned, Kevin Harvick, I have splitting up the Joe Gibbs cars, Kyle Busch finishing fourth. The reason, well, we'll talk about it here. The only other conclusion, the only other logical way that this season can end is Martin Truex Jr. winning the championship.
I'd agree with that.
Just for it to be memorable. Here's a guy whose Furniture Row underdog racing team folded up, but he was so good that the best team in all of the sport was just like, hey, you come race for us. Took him a little bit, and then they just took off. So one way that Martin Truex Jr. could win could either be outright because Martin Truex Jr. is capable of having those cars, or because Logano got revenge on Denny Hamlin. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to think about every single way here, but Truex, I don't know, man. I don't see Kyle Busch doing anything because he just hasn't really caught a stride in the second half of this year. Kevin Harvick is surprised to be in the damn thing. Sure, those two can win on a dime, but I'm pulling for Hamlin to win this one to make it memorable. I'm pulling for Truex if it's not Hamlin. Give me those guys, and it's got to be a Joe Gibbs Racing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I picked Harvick at the beginning of this playoff grid. Like, it's totally not a Stuart Haas year. It's a Joe Gibbs year.
It is a Joe Gibbs year. And for Denny Hamlin, it just came to me. He has a new crew chief this year. So wouldn't that be something? And if he wins the championship and it's his, with a new crew chief, that would be another story, another angle.
One of the best, man. Let's go with the national rundown here. We're starting to run out of some time as we've been talking about this. Just extremely compelling race. What do you have for the what's on television this weekend?
Well, Formula One is heading to Brazil, and for some reason that makes me want to watch Fast and Furious. I don't know why. Maybe it's because they went to Brazil in one of them. That race is set to start tomorrow morning at 11:10 a.m.
That's good.
Yeah, it's.
I love when they're over on this side of the world,
right? Trucks were last night, and at the time of recording this, we don't know who won that. Xfinity has the Ford EcoBoost 300. That's later today at 2:30. That is their championship race.
And that's also a sponsor. We can understand who they are.
Yes. So we'll see either Justin Allgaier, Christopher Bell, Cole Custer, or Tyler Reddick battle it out for that championship.
Who do you got?
I'd love to see Justin Allgaier take it.
I would
simply
too.
Simply because he won his first and only race of the season last week.
See, that's the underdog, right?
It is.
Because if Custer wins, whatever. If Bell wins, Reddick wins, whatever. I mean, it would be great for those guys.
Right.
And I'm a fan of all three of them. They're great. They're going to be good in Cup, too. But Allgaier just won his first race in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
He turns around and wins another one. Completely steals it. Again, storybook ending for a guy who has... It's the Joey Logano thing.
Yes,
but exactly. Even to more of an extreme. Those other three, Bell, Custer, and Reddick, 20 races they've won this year between the three of them.
Yeah.
Here's Allgaier with one, looking to make it two. That'd be amazing.
That would be awesome. I hope to see it. Then the Cup Series has the Ford EcoBoost 400. That is tomorrow at 2:00. And we just talked about it. We'll see Martin Truex Jr., Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch, or Kevin Harvick be crowned the 2019 Cup Series champion.
And we both have Denny Hamlin, and I imagine you and your car, it's not a bad pick. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear who you got at SportsFan1330 on Twitter. Give us a shout, and we will come back and talk about this next week. We'll give some season awards, or at least talk about some of our favorite moments of this season. We'll recap the championship race, and we will predict what's left of silly season. There's still a couple of cars that could use some filling. And, just a couple other observations and questions as we look at the macro on a 2019 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series.
He's Jackson. I'm Thomas. Enjoy the championship weekend. And we'll talk all about it next week.